You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Miguel, Angelo, welcome to Token Theater Friends. I'm so happy to be talking to you, to be seeing to you. It's been quite some time, hasn't it?
Exactly. 2 years before the pandemic.
So I'm so excited. I'm so happy for you, like genuinely, that this is happening after everything that we have been through. So before we get, you know, to actually talk about your album and your performance at Lincoln Center, what have you been up to over the past 2 years? How has the pandemic treated you?
Well, first of all, thank you so much for the invitation, Jose. He's been like a roller coaster, but a very nice roller coaster. Why? Because, you know, in the pandemic, when I started the pandemic, I always thought, or everybody thought, oh, this is going to be just, you know, a few months. Even me, I said, 2 weeks. So, and then we started doing and doing. I said, you know what? This is the time for me or for artists, but especially in my case, to focus a lot in art. In my music. So, and then I was in the pandemic in my studio, in my a little art studio here very close in Dumbo in Brooklyn. I started doing even costumes. I don't know how to sew, but I was like, even for me, it wasn't very difficult to put in the, you know, the tray. Like, I was like, oh my God. Anyway, so, but I did maybe like 13 costumes, like, by hand, like crazy. It's like they are, I think if the Lady Gaga see my costumes compared to Lady Gaga costume, I think she looks like a Heidi next to me. Like she would be so simple. Anyway, and I did paintings because, you know, I do a lot of paintings. I paint oil. I work with oil and I love it. So, but and then I say, you know what? I'm going to prepare for the album. But and then during the pandemic, I get so focused in writing more songs. I think I wrote maybe like 100 songs, you know? And then I say, oh, but if I do the album, if I change some orders of the songs, this could be like a kind of like a play, a dance theater, as you know, a musical, whatever. So and I say, you know what? But I don't want to be a musical. I don't want to be a play. I want to do like a dance theater, like a hybrid. It's very weird. It's very like in the good way. So and then I wrote more songs with my friend and collaborator Jaime Lozano, that I'm sure you know. Jaime from Mexico is like I always say, it's like my brother from another mother. So, and then I say, Jaime, we do this. And then I say, perfect. So I explain to him what I do and say, okay, one day it's going to happen. And then happened. We prepare with the auditions. And then we did the only one show and last March in Washington, D.C. So it was amazing. Like people was, the reaction for the audience was incredible. We have in the middle of a show a standing ovation. And seriously, I was completely in shock. I said, why are they standing? This is not supposed to happen. You know? Well, for me, it's very weird when they applause. I'm like, oh, okay, well, cool. Anyway, but it was amazing. And then right away, we received the invitation from the Lincoln Center to say, we want to do this here. What you think, maybe Miguel, October, November, say, and then we try to do a tour, but it's now happening in December. So it's December 1st, 2 and 3, the Clark Theater here at the Lincoln Center in New York City. And actually tomorrow is starting the rehearsals. So I'm so super excited. And I can't wait to get for the people in New York seeing this piece. This immigration piece.
Okay, that's incredible, because like what it sounds like is like you went into full creative mode. So were you not tired at any point? Like, or, you know, did you find so much of an outlet for everything that was happening through your creative work that just took you through? Because like most of us look like crap, you know, since 2020, and you look fabulous. You look like you have even more energy than before.
Oh, yeah. Like, you know, this is funny because, like, even, you know me a little, and people, but people that doesn't know me, when they see me now, and even before, after the pandemic, they say, Miguel, are you being taken to a lot of cocaine? I'm like, what? I said, no, I don't take drugs. I'm super high natural. If I take something, drug to beat Nutella, I love chocolate. That is my high drug, the Nutella. And I think my music, I think my when I hear music, when I hear good music, when I go in to see artists, you know, like another shows here in New York, you be it an opera, a ballet, a play, I go high just watching other artists. It's crazy. It's really, really crazy. I can be like a stunned, like, ooh, just watching other people. So it's very, I think this is maybe my blood, like a natural drug addict in my blood. But yeah, I was crazy creative. If I was before pandemic a creative person, I became like triple creative person during the pandemic. Yeah.
That's really beautiful. That's admirable. Like I'm a little bit envious of that. I wish I had that as well. Did you discover any works that you never, that you didn't know of before then during this time, since you had so much free time as well? Unless you were making costumes and writing music and all of that. So if you had free time, did you discover any new artists that you love?
Yeah, well, I always find people, and one of the artists that I discovered during the pandemic is called, she's from British. She's British, I'm sorry. And she's, her name is Paloma Faith. I don't even know about her. And then one day I was watching a video and I say, damn, she's crazy. I love her, you know, because she was very unique. And she is very unique. And she's the one to say, only love can hurt like that. You know, and I love that song. And then I start to follow her. But basically, what's Paloma Faith? But of course, before even I go crazy more with the music for The Weeknd, I love that the music for that man. I think it's very, it's like a spell. When you hear the music from The Weeknd, it's like you get under the spell. And it's incredible. I love when an artist could be an actor or a dancer or whatever, it's unique. But especially in music, when you are unique, that attracts me a lot to follow you. And I don't care if you have 1 million views, you know, or 1 million followers. I don't have. I have only 2,000 followers, but they are real. Woo! So, and then one day, but I really admire one of the people that are unique. They're unique artists.
Have you heard that The Weeknd song with Rosalía, where it's a bachata? The Weeknd almost sounds like Romeo Santos.
No.
You have to do that. I think it's called The Fame. No, La Fama. La Fama.
And, oh, I want to check it out. I think she's great too, actually. Rosalía is good. I don't follow her, but when I see her doing stuff, I'm like, oh, she's very interesting.
She has something. She definitely has something. So, I mean, enough about other artists. Like, let's talk about your work. So I love your album so much, but you know, I don't want to spoil what it is for people, not that you can spoil it or anything, but the album takes us on a journey, a journey as an immigrant and often immigrant in so many different ways. You know, it's this beautiful metaphor of a butterfly becoming, you know, blossoming, but also you probably do much better work at talking about your album. So can you tell people what the album's about, how did you come up with it, and how did it turn out so beautiful?
Oh, thank you so much. Well, basically the idea, well, like I always say when the people interview me, my ideas came from my dreams. I think 95% everything what you see or the people, the audience see on the stage is through my dreams. I dream and then I tell people, I want to do this, you know? So the album basically is a story of immigration, or this guy, in this case, me, They come from Venezuela. Since I was a kid or a baby, I always dreamed to live in New York City. So, and then I say, you know what? I want to do an immigration story, but because I love so much poetry metaphors and I love the audience think it about it. So I say, you know what? I want to do the immigration story, but through a different object. In this case, it's an insect, it's a caterpillar. And why caterpillar? Because the Big Apple, how the people call New York City. So this caterpillar came on the plane inside an apple, and somebody doesn't want the apple or throw the apple, and then the apple appears in some place in Manhattan. And then when that worm or the caterpillar came outside the apple, said, oh, finally, I'm here. Now I need to survive. So that worm, but everybody watch him and say, you know, because people they don't like worms. And they always think about that guy because it's an immigrant, or that insect is an immigrant, is a worm. But the character say, I'm not a worm. You think I'm a worm, but I am a caterpillar. And I came here, I'm going to survive as a caterpillar, and I will become a butterfly sometimes. And at the same time happened, when all the steps of the caterpillar, of the butterfly, is the same step of the immigrant with his papers. When he gets his paper, his work permit, his social security, his green card, and finally his citizenship. And then it's all the same in the same time, immigrant, like a human immigrant, insect immigrant, until the end when finally he learned how, okay, I got my dream, I got my wins. And then human, I got the green card, I got the citizenship, and now, what else? So now I need to continue work and try to learn to fly. And finally, when I had everything, finally I got it, I get my goal, so I can die now in any moment. But the beautiful thing in this case of the character is even when he died, a butterfly became ashes, like humans. So in ashes, even if you blow away, they're still flying. So that is the concept of the album. And every song is connected, even if not with music, with the sound. Well, you hear the album. And it's been a big process. I have been writing songs since, I don't know, for this album, maybe five years. And then mostly 95% of the songs I wrote it on the subway in New York City. I don't know how, for me, the subway, if it's okay, it's so dirty, it's so gross, but it's so magical. It has so much energy. And then I talked with Jaime, we talked together, and then he helped me to do all the compositions for the songs and some lyrics. And this is what the album is. It's like a very magical metaphor music album about a story about the immigrant, in this case, the monarch's butterfly.
It is really beautiful, and it brings up so much imagery. I mean, just by listening to the music, you dream up your own story. Like, I thought of an animated version, for instance. Obviously, you do a stage performance, but before talking about performance itself, you mentioned that a lot of your ideas come to you in dreams. Does that mean that you are very good at journaling your dreams, or do you just have a really good memory? Do you always remember what you dream of?
Not always. That is an interesting question, because basically when I dream, you know, when humans, we constantly dream, we never remember what we dreamed. It's very weird. But when I remember something, it's a great idea. I don't know what's happened. Is that, and then I remember. And even sometimes, for example, I remember from my album, La Casa Azul, my second album, I wake up like at 3 or 4 in the morning, and I grab a pencil and a piece of paper, and I wrote the song La Casa Azul about Frida Kahlo. I think in 5 minutes, I wrote all the song. And I was sleeping. It was like, it's like a Frida Kahlo ghost was telling me, you know. I said, okay, Frida, okay, calm down. You know, and I was writing. But when I remember, right away I wrote what happened in my dream. So it's very weird, but very interesting.
That's really incredible. Does that mean that if you ever have a bad dream, like a nightmare or something, would creating a piece about it be a way to deal with the fear that it brought?
Oh yeah, as well. Can be bad dream or sweet dreams or a beautiful dream. Is I always write whatever I think it, because for me it could be like a story, you know? Even if it's something bad or good, I always use it. It's a part of a show when somebody insult very bad and very strong insult to the character. They use the word F, immigrant. And there was a real, sometimes like it happened before the pandemic, maybe a year before 2018, that I was in the waiting in the line for go to the movie theater. And then that lady was in the line and then she escaped the line. And then I say, excuse me, the line is here. And then she right away turned back to me and say, go back to your country, F immigrant. Very bad. And I was like, whoa. And then, you know, I have one of my best friends was with me, my friend Chad. He was in shock, like, wow. And then I said, you know what? It's okay. It's very bad. But one day I will transform this bad, ugly, disgusting moment in a beautiful play one day in a show. And that happened in English with an accent. I brought that moment on the show. It is really, really powerful in the show.
Wow, that's incredible. So I was going to ask you that as well. Like, you know, when people that know you, when your friends and family and the people around you listen to your music and they see you, they watch your performances, are they ever surprised because you're revealing to them a world that they're not aware exists? Because I'm sure your friend had never seen anyone be treated like that.
Yeah, and there are, you know, my family and my friends, what you said, the people that know me, they know how kind of person I am. I never like to fight. I love basically everybody. You know, of course, I don't like, especially in politicians, like a super hypocrite politician and what happened in my country with the communists and you know, all this awful thing. I'm very open in that. And I told them, people say, no, but Miguel, don't say that because you're an artist. I say, no, I'm a human. And I get hurt when I hurt somebody else, you know. But when that happened to me, they know who I am. And, you know, I say, if you don't like me, okay, it's fine. It's your problem. So I like you. If I don't like you, I always say, like, an artist, we are like a painting. You go to a gallery or museum and you see a Picasso and maybe somebody say, wow, what is beautiful? And somebody say, what is that? You know, why he's famous? This is ridiculous. And somebody's like, oh, look at the lines. You know? Anyway, so it's very subjective life as an artist. And I love that. Sometimes people say, I don't like your music. I say, oh, perfect. Thank you. By the way, I don't get angry at all. I laugh, you know? And I say, okay. Because, for example, if it's my mom, that she's my best friend, she saw me since I was a little baby, that I was so weird and so gay and so, you know, like, she doesn't talk. If she loved me and she support me, what else? I don't care about everybody else. You know what I'm saying? What's my mom? My mom, until today, she's my best friend. Even before when I, you know, when I'm dating people, I say, man, I'm gonna see this guy. Oh, he's so hot. And my mom, okay. She's so super cool. But yeah, you need to just check it out and just listen to good things. And if somebody saying bad things, just, ignore it.
Anyone who has seen one of your performances knows that you do this hybrid of, well, everything that you mentioned earlier, dance, theater, musicals, but also you become paintings, you become sculptures, you become living art in so many ways. So I wonder if those, you know, those specific performances that you end up creating, are you dreaming up those and are you imagining those when you're writing the music, when you're in the process of the music, or do the performances become yet another beautiful discovery about what this piece that you created can lead to?
It's both. But, you know, when I'm writing, or when I'm thinking about a show, where I always think of myself as I am part of the audience. How or what I will love to see on the stage. So as an audience. And then I say, you know, this needs to be like that. And then in the process, it's good, you get it, you keep it. But sometimes in the process you do, and then you say, you discover new things. Oh, this is better. Or, you know, or people like, for example, Abihai Haham, that he's a director and the choreographer, that we found him in Israel. And he's an amazing, amazing choreographer and director. And I talk to him what I want, what I'm trying to say, because I say, Abby, I want they looks like it. Humans, we are humans, but in the same time, we're insects. And he's like, I love it. And you know, and it's good because he's very, Abby High in Israel, he's very huge, and even in Europe. Actually, he did the latest video from John Batista. He's the one that did all the choreography. So he's very commercial. And I told him when we met him, I say, I don't want commercial stuff. I want real art, like very deep and metaphor poetry. So he said, what do you mean? I say, imagine that you're going to create a choreography, a choreography for a Tim Burton movie, because it's very dark. And I told the same to Scott Davis, the lighting designer, and I told the same to Ryan Spark, that's the guy that make all the costumes, to the producer, David Stark. So I told them, this is like a beautiful, dark poetry piece. And this is what happened when people went to in Washington D.C. and people, if you see the trailer of a show, you can see the colors. They're very dark, but beautiful. So, and I'm very happy. But it's very interesting what you say, because yeah, I always trying to see what we love to see on the stage. And then sometimes worse, sometimes no, but this is a beautiful thing about art. You need to keep trying, you know?
How do you discover that? Like, how do you, you know, who being in whose audience made you want to give the audience the best time and the best art that you can create? Like, were you concert? Were you watching a painting or something when this sense develop, because that's like really beautiful. It's very considerate, because not everyone thinks about the audience.
It's better that you say that, you know, it's you know, like it's so funny you say that, like when you say a painting. I'm crazy now, and I'm sure somebody's gonna steal after this interview the idea. I don't care. So, but you know, for me so interesting the Guernica, the painting from Picasso. Picasso's painted the big Guernica about the Battle of Guernica. And for me, that would be beautiful for an opera. And then I say, oh, and then maybe one day I will write something about that. But even that, you know, when you say, when you see a painting, you say, wow, what a beautiful colors, or what a beautiful, I wonder what he was in his mind, you know? And in this case, for example, Vincent van Gogh, or even Matisse, you like, wow, and that inspiring you. For me, when I write songs, and they're very, like you say, I like to write a lot with metaphors, because I like the audience, because I believe, and I really believe the audience is smart. So I want to, they think, because for me, it's very stupid. And you know, you're going to see a show, and then they say, A, B, C, D, F, F. I'm like, why? You know, no. You know, people, for example, people like, oh, Broadway is amazing. I love Broadway. yeah, Broadway is amazing. But you sometimes are going to Broadway to see productions that are so incredibly expensive, like ridiculous expensive, that I even pay a ticket, a $300 ticket for a show. And trust me, in the intermission, I left. I said, I can't stay here. You know? And sometimes I go to see something that I pay $20 or $30, and even free. And I like, I blown away. Like, wow. Of course, sometimes you see in Broadway stuff like it's very expensive. Amazing. You know, like one of my best experiences in Broadway to see a play was from Sam Mendes, The Ferryman. I don't know if you saw that when you was here. For me, that was one of the most amazing plays that I see in my life. That guy is a genius. So Kate Winslet, why you divorce him? Anyway, he's amazing. And I fall in love about how every time when he comes to New York City that he's directing something, I need to see it. Because I knew it's gonna be amazing. So that's it.
Well, speaking of Sam Mendes and Kate Winslet, who are no longer collaborators, you tend to collaborate with the same people over and over and over again. You know, like Jaime, yo amo Jaime. Jaime's a genius and Jaime's incredible. So can you talk about the importance of you build a family with your collaborators? So
yes.
How does that affect the kind of work that you do? You know, are you at a point with your collaborators that sometimes you don't have to speak because you can read each other's minds, so to speak?
Yeah. Well, I think what you say is like, it's really true because it could be it need to be a connection. Beside Jaime is an amazing, amazing, amazing and genius, like in composition and orchestration. One thing that I love to work with Jaime, and maybe in the future, I will work with other person. You know, you never know. I will love to work with, oh my God, the guy Mark Ronson. I love Mark Ronson work, you know, even Pharrell Williams, he's incredible. But Jaime, I don't know them. I know Jaime. And Jaime is just a beautiful human. And sometimes you say, how a person so talented, so genius can be so fun and humble, you know? Because I've been working before with another musical directors, incredible talented, like, whoa! Like other genius, but so stupid that you don't want to see them anymore. Because when you work in the collaboration with somebody, it should be like this. It's like brothers and sisters. And for me, creating art is creating love. You know, I can't work with somebody that, for example, if I say, I like this idea, and the person say, for example, Jaime say, great. But if he doesn't like it, he tell me, for example, okay, Miguel, why we don't try this? So he tell the feedback in a nice way. And then you hear and you say, that is great. But sometimes people, when you say something, sometimes people say, no, I don't care. I don't like that. And you're like, okay, this is all supposed to be a collaboration. Because I believe in that. Even if I want to make a painting, I need to go to the store to buy a canvas. And that person, that canvas was created by the person or a machine. So it's all connection. It's all collaboration. We all in life, we need to collaborate with each other. And I think when a human in the world, when they try to understand that if we work together with love, I think Earth or the planet will be, the world will be so completely different. But you know, it's always bad or hate in the world. But I always say that love is stronger than hate. Always say that.
I agree with that. And I'm glad that you talk about love because there's so much love in the album, not only, you know, obviously love for the art and love for humanity and all of that, but you can feel the love that you're carrying of the people that you left behind. You feel the love, yes, that you're carrying for your you know, the music that you grew up with, the culture that you grew up with. And I love this beautiful blend cultures, obviously. There's like, you know, stories set in America with bolero sound and
yes.
with like, you know, like a little like cha-cha-cha, like mambo sounds. So
exactly.
Is that how you would say you carry all the people you love with wherever you go?
Yeah, because, you know, I always say that, and I even then right now during the pandemic, I became a United States citizen, and I'm super proud because I think New York, especially, and this country opened the arms for me. So, and I'm always going to be grateful for that because I really, really love New York City and I really love the United States. But I'm completely proud, and until the end, I'm going to say that I'm Venezuelan because I am Latin and an immigrant, I'm gay, I'm brown. So, and I'm very happy. I think I'm like a kind of iguana with the giraffe. I don't know. It's like a dust mix, you know? And I, one thing that I always going to put like this in high, whatever, if I became one day super famous or not, until the day that I die, I'm gonna say, I was so happy to be or call myself a Venezuelan, because I love my country. So sad that what happened there right now, but those people, those communist people, those dictators people, they're not my country. They are there by mistake because they're like a kind of cancer. But one day we, as a scientist with law, we want to find a place that one day we're going to find the cure. And then right away that cancer is going to not be anymore there. But all my life, I want to be so happy, like you say, and so proud to say I am a Latin American and I am an immigrant and I'm Venezuelan.
So speaking of Venezuela and wanting to celebrate tu hermoso país, if we were to have a Miguel Angelo arepa, what would be in it?
Arepa?
What would be the fillings? Yeah.
Oh.
For your signature arepa.
Oh, right away it could be black beans, cheese, like a white cheese, sweet plantains, fill it up with sweet plantains, and shredded beef, like, you know, carne mechada. That's it. And after you eat amazing arepa, we all coming out, take one, in my case, I take one spoon of Pepto Bismol because my stomach is gonna be so bad. But I need to prepare the stomach. Like, but I love arepas. Avocado with cheese and mayo and chicken. It's called La Reina Pepiada. Everything, you can put everything in an arepa, you know, everything, but it needs to be a Venezuelan arepa. I love Colombian arepa, but not like my Venezuelan arepas, especially like my grandmom. She used to make one arepas so delicious. Like, for example, I hate soup. I don't like soup. Now I like it. By growing up, I hate drinking soup because say, what is this? And I only drink the soup from my grandma. I don't know why. I was like, this is delicious. And she died like actually 2 years ago. She was 91, but she got Alzheimer's. So it was very difficult for us to see a person that was so active and then forget everything. She doesn't even recognize me. When I say, hey, grandma, she's like, who are you? And that was like a knife in my heart. But anyway, I'm sure she knows she's there. Actually, in the album, I dedicated the album to her too.
I'm so sorry. That's how I lost my favorite grandma as well. And I know what you're talking about. It's stressing. So lo siento.
Yeah.
Lo siento mucho. And I'm sure she
about Alzheimer's. You got Alzheimer's too?
Mm-hmm.
It's so, it's so sad, no?
It's dehumanizing. It's horrible.
It's horrible.
And like, for everyone, for them, for people around, it's such a, I don't know.
But I think more for us, because they are in kind, like a kind of limbo, you know, like they are like, I don't know. I remember when my mom said that, my grandmother always had to say, I need to go, because I grew up in the farm in Venezuela, surrounded by chickens and cows. And I was like a Marimar. Rosa Salvaje. And you know, even my grandma, even right now with Alzheimer's, she say to my mom and my aunts, I need to go. And then they say, where are you going? My grandma, my mother is calling me. And my great grandmom died maybe like, I don't know, 60 years ago. I don't even know her. So, and it's funny that you say that, like, no, they calling me, my father is calling me. We're like, whoa. And of course, when I see those tasks where my grandmother happened, I wrote a song, it's called Lola. My grandmother called Lola. I have a song about her, and it's very deep. It's very like emotional, because I say, do you remember me? And she's like, no. And it's about her. So like I say all the time, even when it's a bad memory or good memory, I try to create beautiful things.
Right, and there's also that something that's even, I don't know, very soulful about it is that you remember her, obviously, and now so many people who never met her know her because of the song.
Exactly.
I'm sure she's very proud of you, and I'm sure she's going to be there with you at Lincoln Center in early December. So would you like to invite our viewers and our listeners to come see you and also to get the album?
Yeah, like actually, you remember like the song The Wind in the beginning is a woman that talking, just it's my mom. It's my mom, like she always say, you know, like our mothers in Latin America, they always like, I say, okay, mom, I'm going to the weekend to a friend. Oh my gosh. And they pray like 75 rosaries and 50 candles. I say, I just go to the week for the weekend. And then they ask, why? I don't know why Miguel is so dramatic. Hello, with a mother like that, I'm going to be dramatic. Yeah, but I believe in that, you know, like people that you love forever with the spirits, you know, they're always going to be with you. The show, people need to check it out every day because it's already sold out. Yeah, the three shows is already sold out, but we talked with the Lincoln Center and say, please, 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 can you put more chairs? I don't know what happened. Can you move the theater? And because the Clark Theater is kind of a black box, so you can adapt whatever you want for your presentation. So, and they say, absolutely, we're going to release more chairs. So people, you need to every day check, especially close to the show. It's December 1st, 2 and 3. And at the Clark Theater is the big building at the Lincoln Center and the 7th floor. It's easy to go. And I hope that you like it. I think it's going to be so cool. And I can't wait to see everybody in New York City. And I'm sure a lot of people's gonna be identified. It's called identificarse. How you say identificarse in English? Identify. They're gonna find. I'm sure they're gonna see themselves on the stage. So, and I'm very, very excited.
They're gonna see themselves an incredible artist and performer. So, Miguel, thank you so much. Break a leg, and I'll see you around. I hope.
Thank you so much, Jose.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.